Time to check in with the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital, Dr. Kevin Most. Good morning, Doc. Let's talk first about the vaccine for the young kids. And I guess at this point, it's all about convincing parents that it's safe and effective. What do you have to say on that topic?
Yeah, Bob, you kind of hit it right on the head. You know, it's great that it's out today and that kids can get it, but really it is going to be how do we tell the parents to convince them that it's a good idea and then help them with that decision of, all right, do I do the Pfizer or do I do the Moderna? Because with Pfizer, I'm done, you know, in 12 weeks, where with Moderna, I'm done only in 4 weeks. So certainly going to be a decision that parents are going to have to make. Certainly, both have been proven to be safe and effective. Pfizer, much more effective, you know, in that 80% range. In Moderna, 40 to 50% effective, but looking at, do we need a third shot with Moderna? And I think probably one thing that the parents really need to understand is we used a different endpoint here for proving that this is effective. With adults, we said, you know what? We're going to make sure that you don't get hospitalized and that you don't die from this illness. That was how we proved it to be effective. In kids, we went the other extreme, saying, you know what? Is this going to prevent symptomatic infection? Kind of what we really would like to see on the adult side as well. But that's what the endpoint was for kids. So much tighter and much more stringent as far as what we're saying is effective.
The Pfizer vaccine is 3 doses at a tenth of the size of an adult dose. The Moderna shot, 2 doses at a quarter of the size of an adult dose. But you like them both, don't you?
I do like them both. You know, if parents are concerned about side effects and they're not so concerned about how long it will take. You know, a kid who gets vaccinated today with Pfizer won't be fully vaccinated until September. Strength, they saw a decrease in the side effects, less fever, less fatigue. And they found that adding that third dose really gave kids a lot of protection against the Omicron strain that is out there right now. The other parents are going to be, oh, I want my kid done as soon as possible, you know, so they might go with Moderna. But I'm telling you, the third dose of Moderna will be announced. This is my prediction, will be announced probably within a month. So it's not like you're going to gain any time, but you will gain some more effectiveness so that both of them are probably going to be as effective with the full 3-dose regime.
And as far as adults are concerned, and Omicron, and we all know so many people who've had it recently, the evidence now is that the protection that you get after you have that is not very long lasting, is it?
Yeah, it's not very long-lasting, and unfortunate, Omicron's been, you know, when it came out with a flurry and we got so many cases, we knew that the more cases we would have, the more variants we had, and sure enough, it has shown, right? Omicron not only was the dominant, it went to BA2, which was a subset. People are like, well, why isn't it named another Greek letter? It was so much like Omicron that they kept it within that family and called it a different variant. And now we're seeing variants BA4 and BA5 come out. And we're saying, oh, okay, well, it's so much like Omicron, we must get great protection. And really, we're finding that we don't get great protection, and it doesn't last very long.
And what do you think is the future for booster shots? And there's talk of a vaccine that will combine protection against the flu and COVID. Where are we with that?
Well, I think, Bob, probably the more exciting thing is the dual shot that is going to have not only original COVID, but will have an Omicron strain in there as well. Very similar to what we do with influenza right now, right? When you get your influenza shot every year, you're being protected for 4 different strains. What they're working on right now is a COVID vaccine that has 2 strains, has the original because we know it's safe and effective, and then has an Omicron because that's the dominant strain right now. So similar to what we do with influenza, what's the dominant strain? Let's make sure it's in our booster. So certainly we're going to see that in the fall. And then if that happens, it'll probably end up being 2 shots. You'll get an influenza shot where you're going to be protected from 4 strains, and you're going to get a COVID shot where you're going to be protected from 2 strains, the original plus Omicron. But the dual vaccine has really showed great results so far.
Dr. Kevin Moses is the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital, and every Monday morning we get the house call here. And before we move on to another topic, Doc, let's get to some questions listeners have emailed or texted us regarding COVID. This is an interesting one. I have COVID now, this person says. Cold symptoms only. How long should I wait before getting my second booster?
Well, that's one of those where you're going to have some natural immunity because of the infection. So if you certainly have tested positive, you're going to have your initial vaccine plus your booster, plus your boost from the illness itself. So you can wait 2-3 weeks after you have the symptoms resolved, because some people are going to get uncomfortable after the shot. So wait 3 weeks afterwards and go ahead and get boosted. And now you're going to have natural immunity as well as a fully boosted immunity. You're going to be in really good shape coming into the fall.
This one is from someone who says they're 55, obese, with type 2 diabetes. I got 2 Pfizer shots in April last year and a Moderna booster New Year's Eve. I have not had COVID that I know of. Should I be thinking about another booster soon or wait for a new generation of vaccine? And which booster should I get?
No, absolutely should get another booster. You're over 55. You have risk factors with obesity and diabetes, so certainly you should get one. And you can either get Pfizer or Moderna. If you want to even the playing field and get Moderna, at this condition where you had 2 Pfizers and Moderna, I might go back to a Pfizer. You're only going to gain 1-2 percentage points, but you know, if you're in Vegas, you'd like to have those odds. So You can't go wrong with either one, but certainly in this case, I'd probably go back with Pfizer.
Now, last week, we got into this discussion around here about MSG, and we heard from a lot of listeners like this person who wrote, Bob, I also have a problem with sleep and MSG. It doesn't make me wired, but I can't fall asleep if I have it after 6 p.m. Popeye's chicken and some chicken and barbecue rubs are the culprits for me. I have Googled this and also asked my doctor. No one seems to know what I'm talking about. What is the deal with MSG?
You know, it's really interesting, especially people that think MSG is only in Chinese food. Say, you know what, I prepare my Chinese food, don't give me any MSG. And they have to understand that two things happen there. One, when they don't use the MSG, what are they doing? They're putting salt in. MSG is actually not bad for you. It has been debunked. All of the, it's going to make me irritate, it's going to give me headaches, it's going to make me fat, it's going, all of that has really been certainly looked at much more tightly. So it's not a villain it's not a villain spice. You know, small doses do no harm for you. As a matter of fact, 1/3 of the amount of sodium is in MSG when compared to salt. And we have to understand, too, that, like I said, it's not just in Chinese food. It's in canned vegetables. It's in soups. It's in other prepared. Certainly some people have what they call MSG headaches. If they get too much of it, they'll get headache and nausea, but it's a very small percentage. So I wouldn't vilify it. I would certainly look at from the health benefit side. It's going to probably help with your blood pressure. And, you know, I think people think it makes your food taste better. But It is interesting how it's been vilified over all these years without anything ever being absolutely proven.
And it's in processed foods, and it's there to increase shelf life, really, isn't it?
Correct, 100%. Increases shelf life and enhances flavor is, you know, what their things are. But when you look at it and say, yeah, that makes sense, look where it's at. Canned vegetables, canned soups, deli meats, all those things that we want a longer shelf life to allow us to safely eat these foods later versus, you know, the old jarred food that, oh, if you don't eat it within a couple of weeks, you know, you're going to have to throw it away. But certainly all the, oh, it makes me gain weight and it makes me get headaches, all of those have not been proven except with a small population, which they can't even figure out exactly what their trigger is. Is it the MSG or is it something else in the processing?
So my conclusion here last week that I was having trouble sleeping a few times because I was eating Chinese food may not be accurate. It may have been something else, right?
Yeah, that probably doesn't hold water. You know, it was probably a caffeinated drink you had later in the day, something that was stressful on your mind. You know, there's plenty of other things that are going to keep us up. You know, when we look at sleep health and the impact of being able to get a good night's sleep, the comfort of the room, the temperature of the room, the darkness of the room, there are so many variables. I wouldn't blame it on the egg foo young.
All right. It doesn't hold water or wonton soup, according to Dr. Kevin Most. I appreciate you straightening us out on that. You have a good week. We'll talk to you next Monday.
You got it, Bob. Take care.